beginning. Verses 41 to 59. John chapter 6, verses 41 to 59. I don't know if they still do this. I don't even know if people buy like physical albums or tapes or CDs or whatever anymore. But when I was a kid, we would buy tapes and CDs, and then they had this, some of them had parental advisory explicit content at the bottom, and you knew, okay, if you're a parent, maybe I shouldn't let my kid listen to this or whatever. Today's message has that, it's really just actually the passage that we're about to read, has the parental advisory or pastoral advisory, maybe explicit content. So as the pastor, I believe it's advisable for us to hear today's message, but know that it is somewhat explicit, and you'll see why, I trust, here in just a moment. Let's then begin in John chapter 6, verse 41. This is the Word of God. So the Jews grumbled about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Let's pray. O Lord our God, in our gathering this morning, we ask that you would give us an understanding by your Holy Spirit, and that we would continue to participate in the work of new creation that you are doing throughout the universe, and even here in our humble church building. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Years ago, I might have told some of you, I was invited as a local religious leader to go to one of the more important mosques in Northern Virginia, which is about a mile that way. And they invited different religious leaders from different backgrounds. They had Methodists, Baptists, Catholics, Presbyterians. I think they might have had like a monk, a Buddhist monk. So all of us get together. and they made this absolutely fantastic meal. They fed us like lamb and fantastic bread and a lot of really good Mediterranean food. We were all eating, and different people are standing up and say, okay, I represent, you know, the Catholic Church, or I represent the Baptist Church, and we're all learning about, you know, I represent the Buddhist, and we're all learning about these things, and, you know, we're not all the same, but we, you know, we love each other. And of course, the person who then spoke was a Muslim, as he said, okay, lunchtime is over, and we are now going to go to a time of prayer, because, as you know, I think, you know, there are five different times of prayer for Muslims that they're required to do every day. And so this was kind of the main reason, I guess, that they invited us beyond just getting to know us and networking. They said, why don't you come on in, and when the men are praying, you can be there. You don't have to participate. And so we went into this room. The women go one place, men go the other, separated. We went into the room with the men. I was standing back. There was a Catholic priest next to me over here. A lot of us just stood back. And then the call of prayer came. And all these Muslim men got down on their knees, feet behind them, and were bowing down on the ground in prayer. The thing that astonished me was to see that a man who had gotten up and said that he was a Christian, along with a couple others, went forward and also bowed down in prayer and worship to Allah, the God of Islam. It was astonishing. Because we had just had this meal, this great meal, but I know that if someone says they're a Christian, that they know that we have something we feed on that is so far better than lamb and Mediterranean food. And then when this deeper time of prayer, a spiritual feeding is happening, a spiritual feeding where there's nothing to feed on, sadly, they would go and bow down and feed on nothing. This was a dishonor to God. This was a dishonor to Christ. There is nothing to feed the human soul in the deepest essence of who we are in our hearts. Human beings will not find that in the mosque. I'm not saying this to put down my Muslim friends and neighbors. I'm saying it because, as a disciple of Jesus, I know that this is the truth. There is nothing to feed the human soul in the mosque. But in the church, we feed on reality. We feed on the reality that is Jesus Christ. We feed on Him, the deepest place of who we are, and we are granted eternal life in this receiving of His life. We have what no mosque, no synagogue, no religious center, no Hindu or Buddhist temple, no other place where people proclaim that life can be found. The church is the only place where we are feeding upon the very person of Jesus Christ for our eternal life. So we need to stay and continue feeding. You say, why are you talking about this to me? I didn't see anything about a mosque. Muhammad doesn't come for another like 600 years. Well, I want you to note the last verse that we read, as we are going to look at this sermon in two basic points. The mosque feeds on nothing. The church feeds on Jesus Christ. Begin with the mosque feeds on nothing. Because that's why in this last verse it says Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. The synagogue was a place for a local gathering of Jewish people. Jesus is Jewish. And they would gather for prayer, for the reading of the Bible, for teaching, much like what we're doing now. Now, Jesus has been in this synagogue. After he fed 5,000 plus people with food, the crowds followed him. And they wanted to know, could you give us more bread? And they're having a discussion. Jesus reveals he's the bread of life. And he also reveals that the reason that they came to him was the wrong reason. They just wanted bread. They didn't perceive that they should want Jesus. And that they should believe in him. And that he can answer to the deepest needs of the human soul and the human life lived in this world. And so Jesus tells them the truth there. And he goes on to explain that this is the case with most of you in the synagogue. This synagogue is a place that is not feeding on Jesus. Insofar as they reject Jesus, insofar as they do not believe in Jesus, insofar as they don't trust him and obey him, they are not feeding on him, but this synagogue is feeding on nothing. Or maybe they believe they're feeding on Moses. Moses is dead, he has no life to give. The synagogue is a place where they feed on nothing in Jesus' day there. And the people who first heard this needed to hear that. This book, the Gospel of John, was written to people living in Asia Minor. And in that place, people who had been Jews and converted to feed on Jesus, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And by being kicked out of the synagogue, you were no longer a part of the family. You no longer had rights to an inheritance. You might even be killed by your brother. It was serious. Okay. And so there were Jewish Christians in Asia Minor who were tempted to just go back to the synagogue and give up on Jesus. There were Greco-Roman Christians whose whole lives had been about getting more and more gods. The more gods, the merrier. And they needed to hear Jesus saying here that their temples, their pantheon, that in those places, they also are feeding on nothing. And so they need to remain in the church and not go to the synagogue or go to the temple, but to come to Jesus, to feed on him. Because this is reality. This is the only place you can really be fed. The other day, just yesterday, my girls were playing, and then my daughter Annalise, the 3-year-old, she was like not talking and like moving her mouth weird. And then Amelia said, she's eating plastic. I said, Lisa, what are you eating plastic for, right? Well, it had been a popped balloon from when she had a birthday, and these little pieces of plastic confetti were everywhere, and she had put one in her mouth and she's trying to eat it. I was like, Lisa, don't eat plastic, you know. I'm more aware of how plastic is bad for you. So I was getting really sick. Get it out of your mouth, you know. Don't do that. Don't eat plastic. And of course, she swallows it. I said, well, where is it? I can't find it. She said, it's down there. I went, Lisa, plastic does nothing for you. You're not going to get anything from it. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't do anything. It actually harms you, honey. Don't do that. My friends, don't go to the mosque to look for life. Don't go to the synagogue to look for life. Don't go to the Hindu or the Buddhist temple for life. World religions, apart from Christ, have as much to offer as plastic confetti. And that's the truth. And that's what our Sifu, our Master, has taught us, his disciples. But there's good news for a world that has gone wrong. There is very good news. And that is that the church exists, and the church is the place where the people can feed upon Jesus. But as we learned last week, nobody will come. Nobody is able to come to Jesus unless the Father first draws him. And we see this theme of human inability to even come to the right place to feed back in chapter 1. And let me just read it for you. You don't have to turn there. But in the prologue of John, the very beginning, Jesus, or the author, teaches us something. He says, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, his Jewish family, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And listen now. Who were born. This is this idea of new birth, a new beginning, new creation, right? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You may have noticed something Jesus said about his eating his flesh and blood. There's a reason why flesh and blood showed up in chapter 1 and is showing up here now. The flesh and blood of us cannot obtain eternal life. But the flesh and blood of Jesus can. In fact, the flesh and blood, his death and resurrection, and the application of his death and resurrection to us, his people, enables us to believe and then to feed. Feeding is believing. Feeding is trusting and obeying out of that trust. But it's deeper than that. Because the reason why Christ's resurrected eternal flesh and blood is able to make us able to feed is because it is eternal and resurrected. And he restores us by uniting us to his restored and resurrected body by his Spirit. He unites us by the power of his Holy Spirit to himself, that we could say we are united to him. We are parts of his body, the very life of Jesus coursing through us, making us new, making us able to believe, making us able to obey, making us able to drink and eat of Christ and gain life. When my daughter is eating plastic, did I say to her, honey, whatever you want to eat, that's just fine. Do you want some more plastic confetti? Because I think I saw some in the trash can back in that room. Yeah? Of course, what kind of a dad would I be? Right? I mean, I might get arrested for kind of that kind of thing, feeding my kid plastic. No. What I do is I try my best to convince her with words. It's not a good idea. And then I bring something better. I'm like, hey, have you tried bread before? How about some grape juice? You know, and just hope that she will feed on that and be like, whoa, that's way better. I'm feeling that, you know. We sometimes can feel so bad. You know, oh, Christians, we believe Jesus is the only way, and we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe that people don't trust in Jesus, they're lost. Oh, gosh, what sour people, you know? Like, why not be nicer, you know? Everybody's just going up the same mountain, but by different paths. We're all heading to the same destination. That would be to tell people lies. That would be to tell people it's cool, go ahead and eat plastic. Right? But God has made us a people who want to love people. Okay? And if somebody's got a disease and you know they've got a disease, you tell them, go to the doctor, because I care about you. And they're like, no, I don't want to go to the doctor. No, seriously, you've got to go to the doctor. What we do is we respect people. We love people. We've got empathy for people in other religions. But we don't have to. It's not nice then to just say, oh, you know, it's cool. That, you know, you're getting the same thing that anybody else is getting. How is that loving? We're like beggars who are telling other beggars where to find bread. Love your neighbors who are from different religions. Respect them and show them the highest respect by saying, I recognize that you believe different than me. And I believe different than you. But we're going to love each other. And I hope that you'll come eat with me one day at church. Jesus took bread and blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink it again until I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. Let's pray over these elements. O Lord our God, we thank you for the bread and for the cup. We know that they remain just bread and grape juice. We also know that as we come to it by faith, we feed upon the reality of Jesus Christ. Amen.